In this episode of the Smart City Podcast, I come to you all the way from Japan. So, I'm here on a Austrade delegation with the Honourable Stephen Chobo, the Minister of Trade, Tourism and Investment. And we have had such an amazing time. So, first we go through the delegation. So who's there? So they'll all introduce themselves, and give you a short snippet of their companies. And then I, get some reflections from four of, I think there was 14, of us or 13, of us on the delegation. So I really hope you enjoy this episode. It's a bit of a different one. It is a bit, we are at a barbecue when I recorded this, so forgive the audio. Hopefully you still enjoy it. And yeah, thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. I really appreciate it and I'm really excited to be here in Japan. Yeah, I look forward to talking to you all again soon. So as always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
It's the Smart City Podcast, whoa, with smart city experts, here we go. Connecting smart technology, both big and small. Smart cities are making life better for all. Big data, emerging trends, self-driving cars and more. The Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.
I'm Brian Ashton, the founder and director of Harvest Digital Planning, a civic technology company, and we specialize in community engagement software for smart cities.
John O'Callaghan, director of JOC Consulting, specializing in community engagement, activation, and strategy.
Emma Hendry, CEO of Hendry Group. We're a built form advisory firm specializing in risk mitigation, statutory compliance, and asset optimization.
Tim Lucas, co-founder and CTO of Immersive Robotics. We specialize in low-latency video compression and data streaming for real-time critical applications like VR and AR and other new Internet 5G applications.
Dan Barr from the Better Cities Group. We do urban design, city shaping and city activation.
Hi, Ashley Morris from the Circular Experiment. We specialize in circular economy application for government and corporations.
Hi, Bronwyn Voice from GWI. We are a data and information firm that works in civic innovation and smart city strategy.
Hi, I'm Andy Roberts from the Smart City Studio in Adelaide, where I'm helping them with a water proof of concept, and also from Inside Infrastructure, where I'm an engineer supporting them in their city's data information.
I'm Catherine Tobias. I work for KPMG in our Internet of Things consulting practice, and I specialise in smart cities.
Hi, I'm Marika Svikas. I'm a property development graduate at Lendlease, which is a global property and construction group.
Hi, I'm Janice Lee. I'm a director at EY's Infrastructure Advisory Group. We advise across the infrastructure lifecycle, but my particular area is around infrastructure strategy and policy.
Nicholas Camels, a town planner, currently doing a startup in renewables and electronic waste.
Hi, I'm Gabriel Hall. I'm an advisor for Future Cities at Austrade, the Australian Trade and Investment Commission, federal government agency responsible for helping Australian businesses do business overseas and attracting FDI into Australia, and delighted to be with this incredible group in Tokyo, Japan.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone, for introducing yourselves. Everyone knows who I am, hopefully. So I look forward to talking to you all and getting some snippets and some insights from Japan. So, sitting here with Janice from EY, we're just at the Austrade end-of-day barbecue. We finished our last part of the delegation, which has just been amazing, and I just wanted to hear from Janice about what she thought about this. So Janice, why was it so important to you to come on this delegation?
So, when the opportunity came up, it became this real promise about seeing how smart cities can be done elsewhere. And I think Australians have a real perception of the Japanese that they're first movers on technology, that they just live and breathe technology, and it's applied effortlessly across all of the aspects of their daily life. And so without actually having a sense of the actual smart city projects we were going to see, I just thought that would be an opportunity to see some of these things applied in a genuinely integrated sense. In Australia, smart cities is still quite a new concept. To me, it has sometimes felt highly theoretical and not very, very applied. And in our practice, we've seen it in a number of areas, but that it's still been at that fairly focused sort of project by project level, so smart motorways or driverless trains, or and we've not yet seen that layering that you expect to see in a smart city. Cool.
So let's talk about the highlight of this business trip.
So the highlight was really understanding how innovation happens in Japan. We saw it in a number of different spheres. We saw it in specific precinct development. We saw it in the sort of innovation centres of these companies. And I think what I really took from it was just these incredibly mature Japanese companies working to kind of what are quite traditional codes of behaviour, but actually embodying innovation, institutionalising it, and then finding new ways to branch out as well. So some of the companies talked about, you know, sponsoring teams in Singapore and around the world just to make sure that they were disrupting themselves. And I think that that's really interesting. So seeing how a mature set of players continue to innovate, that was very interesting. There was a real sense from players that continuous innovation is very hard in an economy that faces structural stagnation. So in a country like Japan that has really struggled with population growth, with productivity growth, with just low spending households, that sort of thing. And so you see these firms who've just got enormous capacity and depth to invest in things. And what was exciting was hearing them talk about the fact growth for them meant going overseas, going abroad, building new markets, developing new partnerships with other companies. That to me was this amazing takeaway.
Mm. I really felt like we have so much to learn from each other. Like, I feel like the Australian market is very different to the Japanese market. However, we also have some of the very, you know, the same problems that we're addressing differently. And so I really think we can work with each other, particularly in that like entrepreneurial startup, community collaboration. I think, yeah, we can really share some amazing insights and stories and learnings with each other. Yeah. So what's the key takeaway for you?
So just to that point, I think that's really right. And the Japanese EY office said to me that they were looking through the bios and CVs of the Australian delegates, and they said, this is really curious because you all have emphasised very heavily community, the citizen, the customer, the user, the community. And he said he felt that in Japan the emphasis is very heavily on the engineering. And he was sort of hypothesising that those two things together actually are highly complementary. And I actually think that's very right.
Definitely.
Yeah, so that you can see the opportunities for collaboration on that front.
Yeah, definitely. So is that kind of your key takeaway that I keep saying, and I didn't say it first, Laura Falano said it first, but technology is a product of human creativity. We're doing things to make things better for the human. And I think, yeah, it's not tech for tech's sake.
Yeah.
And I felt like that here in Japan, here in Japan as well. But I really think that sometimes it may be a little bit lost in when we're talking just tech, you know, technology.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting to see that the smart city or the society 5.0 was human-centered, human-centric, which I really, really love. So,
I really agree with that.
Awesome. Well, it's been so great to talk to you. Yeah. And enjoy your flight back home in a couple of hours. And it's been so great to just meet yourself and all the other. It's just been such a great experience. It's definitely been fun. So
Zoe, it's been really good to meet you as well.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for talking to me. And, we'll definitely talk again soon. So we're back again. I want to ask Janice what surprised her about this trip.
Okay, so there was one thing that really took me by surprise, and that was the sense that even though some of the Smart Cities projects were fairly established, so Kashiwanaha was like 15 years old, actually it hadn't yet evolved into like second and third generation developments. And so what surprised me about that was I felt that while Australia could be learning, it wasn't like we'd missed the boat in any way. Like there was still a real, there was still a real opportunity for Australia to contribute learnings to that evolving process. So, for example, you know, there were instances put to us by our hosts around some of these smart cities projects where, you know, they hadn't yet scaled some of the technology that they had applied, or they hadn't yet really found a way to make it financially sustainable, etc. So there were still things that were demonstration project level. And to me, that's also an opportunity because it's not like we're just going to be learning in a one-way flow. But there's actually a real potential for Australian smarts, for other smarts to be contributing to that body of knowledge.
To the global conversation, I think sometimes maybe we feel in Australia that, yeah, we've missed the boat, or, you know, we're so far behind that we shouldn't even try to catch up, we should just do what we do.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, the global conversation is still emerging. Some people are talking about, you know, different streams and they're quite advanced, which Japan definitely is in certain streams, but I think Australia is very advanced in other streams, and that's why I think that global conversation is really important. Well, thanks so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
We'll say goodbye again. See you later.
See ya.
Bye. Okay, I'm here with John from JOC Consulting. We've just finished a lovely meal, drinking some champagne. John's actually jumping on a flight, so he's very kindly agreed to sit down with me for 10 minutes. So, John, why was it so important for you to come on this trip?
Hey, Zoe. Well, to meet you, of course.
Oh, obviously.
Worst joke ever. No, to be honest, I think it was... I look to Japan for a lot of inspiration, and when it comes to smart cities without jumping ship, I feel like Japan really balances culture and heritage with innovation and creativity.
Yeah, definitely. So what was the key kind of highlight for you on this trip?
The key highlight, I think, was to better understand how innovation works. For me, it really came across that for decades now, Japanese businesses have been innovating internally. So if we look to some other countries, well-known countries in this space, like Israel, Estonia, even the US or Singapore, some of their spaces that promote innovation are really obvious and really overt. But it's really subtle here in Japan, and it's amazing because you kind of see the level of respect that junior staff give to elders within the organization, but then also elders giving junior staff the opportunity to be progressively innovating throughout the company.
Yeah, awesome. So what's the key thing that you're going to take back with you to Australia?
There's a couple, probably.
Okay, well, I'll give you a couple.
Probably, like, one would be we're working on this new project in Wollongong, and it's looking at the future of Wollongong. It's 5 precincts. How are they going to connect? Is it hard infrastructure? Is it soft infrastructure? Is it intellectual? Is it mobility? And what really came through really strongly in Japan is that you really need to consider that vision and that vision role in influencing the community, but also influencing stakeholders, and the importance of having everyone working towards that goal or that vision. Then also, I think in the short term, I'd love to come back next year. I feel like it's one of those places that requires further investigation. I mean, I've been here for 5 days now, so it's barely anything.
Yep.
And really interested to see how, you know, a visit to Japan might also coincide with a visit to South Korea,
maybe. Excellent. So what's the thing that you've enjoyed the most other than the karaoke?
The sake.
Okay, cool. Anything else in that space? Maybe is there any piece of technology or something that you really thought, oh, wow, I haven't thought of that before?
I think for me, in a lot of the work we do a lot of strategy work. At JOC Consulting, we're really passionate about creating better cities, and for us that translates into strategy, activation and engagement. And we often don't get the opportunity to look at things like energy or things like disaster. So those two themes came up a lot during our trip, and it was really fascinating to see that Japanese culture really prepares for these really big issues, whereas on reflection, perhaps even in the strategy work we do, it's a lot of reactive planning, a lot of reactive responses to these issues. And, you know, granted, we don't have the earthquakes and we don't have the tsunamis, but we do have the flood, the drought, the fire, and so there's all these other things that I think we can learn a lot from and apply to Australia.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think that there's anything in Australia that Japan could really learn from us?
Yes, I do. I think Australians, we take a lot of risk. And I can't tell if that's because we've had many good years, you know, and our cities are booming and they're so exciting, and Sydney's the greatest place to be in Australia right now. It's much better than Toowoomba. No.
I'll edit that out.
No, Sydney is an amazing place. And I think we are supporting entrepreneurs in the built environment in a really amazing way. I think for me, when I reflect on what is a smart city, I think it's, you know, both a really practical thing. It's about digital technology enabling more efficient city development and city shaping, but it's also a movement. And what I've seen over the past few years is this movement grow and this passion grow for a future city that can deliver social equality, but also meaningful public places, and then also amazing new jobs, and then also, you know, the list goes on. I think technology has always been around, but now it's at a scale that can really facilitate change within one generation, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks so much for talking to me. And I look forward to having a full-length episode with you when we're back in Australia. I'll be sitting in my home office in Toowoomba, and you can sit wherever you do in Sydney.
Arigato!
Arigato! Thanks, John. Talk soon.
Thanks,
bye.
Simon. Bye.
So I'm here with Tim Lucas. He's the CTO of Immersive Robotics, also the co-founder of that company. It's been so great to have him on the trip because I've really enjoyed learning so much about robotics from him and AR and VR and so many awesome technologies. So I'll let him tell you. But Tim, why was it so important for you to come on this trip?
Well, the trip was centered around smart cities. And although we're doing AR, VR, and we're making that wireless. So where that applies is essentially what we're doing is real-time streaming and networking for like applications that are real-time critical. So that has massive implications for the cities of the future when we start talking about how that can be used with 5G. So currently we've actually streamed over Wi-Fi from a computer to a VR headset, and we're working on AR as well, and we're also looking at applications where we can stream to TVs and a number of other potential applications for that as well. So what we're really doing in its essence here is trying to move that computing further and further away from the user, and something like the 5G network, which is an integral piece of infrastructure for smart cities, will enable us to actually have the computing in the cloud for AR and VR, which means that you can start looking at applications like what is the future of the internet and how are we going to handle that data for connectivity to these devices that is spatial in nature rather than a page that constantly needs to load itself and buffer. Like most of our computing at the moment relies on buffering. What we're talking about here is organic interactions. So, so basically how that would look is it's about like a city and the interactions that you can have with it. So in context to that environment. So you can walk through the city and you can see things that are within the context of the area that you're in, and your unique expectations based on your previous data that you may have generated and things like this. So you can actually have a customized experience in the same area as everybody else, and you can actually feel like you're a part of that city interactively. So that's got massive, massive things to add to a smart city concept.
Yeah, definitely. Can you talk a little bit about your invention and why it's so important?
Yeah, so it's primarily based around video compression, and in the past, most video compression algorithms like H.264 and the HVEC algorithms, they're highly efficient. There's no doubt about that. But they rely on buffering, a process called temporal buffering, where you're essentially storing frames and you're picking out commonalities between those frames and throwing away things that you don't need because it's repeating itself and things like that. So this is a good process for something like Netflix, where you basically can buffer it locally and watch it in a seemingly real-time manner.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about something that's organically interfaced or a remote presence application or something like that, you just don't have the time to buffer. You need the data straight away, otherwise it looks like there's a delay and that's not interactive. So the interactive nature of computing goes away if you've got a delay between your interaction and the display of the expected result. So the compression that I originally invented and my company and the great team that we've built there has done an awesome job of turning into a reality, it's a subframe compression. So it's just bits frame. It doesn't buffer frames, and it's a new way of thinking about the problem, and it's somewhat based around the biological requirements behind a viewer. And what they're going to expect in the data that they're doing. So it's, I would call it smart compression. And it's, in some cases it can be dynamic as well. And so it takes a lot of particular things into consideration that aren't being taken into consideration by traditional methods of compression to enable it to be much, much more efficient than what else is out there in terms of delivering that real-time kind of experience.
Yeah, awesome. So let's talk, we're here in Japan, so let's talk about that. And what's your kind of main highlight of your trip?
We're currently at the embassy, that's pretty cool. So, Japan is really where a lot of smart city stuff's born, and there's a lot of thinking on that and a lot to be learned from how they're doing things here. But also, bilaterally, I think there's things that we're doing in Australia that are being recognised here as well as value that we can add back in. So this has been a very collaborative exercise in discussing openly things that we're doing locally and things that they are doing locally, and just like all great conversations adding value both ways.
Yeah, definitely. So what's your kind of key take home? Like, I know you've had some really awesome conversations with some really, really kind of big tech companies over here. So what are you going to do when you get back to Brisbane?
Yeah, so we've had the opportunity to see a bunch of cutting-edge technology here, and I've spoken with a number of the tech companies that we were invited to come and speak with, and received extremely positive results to what we're doing and how that could potentially fit with what they're doing. So, you know, we'll be following up those discussions, and I'll be continuing that dialogue with them and seeing what value we can add and ways that we can collaborate. I'm really passionate about pushing the envelope on this and seeing what we can do in terms of creating what I would call the next generation of the internet.
Mm. No, that's awesome. And do you see yourself coming back to Japan anytime soon?
Absolutely. Like, yeah. This is my third time here.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah, all business. So maybe I'd say I'll be back if the pleasure would be nice. Definitely yeah. Back for business. Yeah. So, but yeah, wouldn't mind a holiday, and I haven't skied before, so maybe that's on the cards.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Well, it's been so great to talk to you, and I'm really looking forward to connecting you with some people back in Australia as well, because my brain is just in overdrive about the technology that your company is involved in, or that you've created, and me going, oh, I can connect you with that person, because I think it's so valuable. And I think that's what we have to do in this smart city space. And I think really embrace that young entrepreneurial culture, because it's important and it's the way of the future. So I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me this afternoon or tonight, and maybe karaoke later.
Yeah, look, let's go to the wine bar first, and then we'll talk.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Tim. Talk soon. Bye. Hello, Emma. How are you? We're coming to the end of the night now, and I just wanted to have a little chat about this whole delegation and this whole trip. I've had such a great time. It's been so great to meet you and talk with you. I'm so excited about the conversations we're going to have in the future, because I think we can really bounce ideas off each other, and I can learn from your experience, and I'm really excited. Anyway, that's enough fangirling, and let's talk about why you came on this trip.
So I think the first reason why was to gain knowledge. So the opportunity came up, and I thought it was such an immensely timely opportunity for me, just because we are playing in such a high technology field at the moment, and I really wanted to see the way it was being utilised over here. Secondly, I really wanted to see how to enter the Japanese market. So from my perspective of moving my business over here, it was a fantastic opportunity to be able to actually go in and find out how to do that. And then also the inverse, to get funding. So for me to actually go into these organizations and be able to see the culture, what they're wanting to do, where they're heading, their strategy, and also see the differences in the different types of companies that are currently operating in our space, and then being able to say, oh, how do they do that as opposed to the way we're doing it, and what can we sort of take away from that? So I think, you know, for me it's really been a bit of a fact-finding mission, which I've been absolutely thrilled about.
Yeah, awesome. So what's your main kind of highlight from the trip?
I think meeting so many different people and the diverse backgrounds. The delegates themselves were absolutely fantastic. I enjoyed all of my time with each and every one of them. The Austrade and the ministers and the ambassador were absolutely amazing. And then the opportunity to be able to actually go into these amazing companies and be face to face with some of the decision makers and the people on the ground doing what we talk about every single day over here. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, to actually have that real time and practical knowledge, and also seeing the way it's being applied, has just been absolutely fantastic, not just talking in theoretic.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. So what's your main kind of key takeaway that you're going to take back with you?
I think, to be honest, I really think it's the way they approach innovation. So it's very different to the way we do it. So we've heard so much talk about how big business doesn't create innovation, but to be honest, from my perspective, especially in the disaster recovery and emergency space, the way that they were able to just overcome and recreate from such devastation, especially as the 2011 earthquake, and be able to just reorganize and rebuild and to become a powerhouse, I think for me it really is astounding that as a collective we're able to move the dial if we're all working in the common purpose. And I think for me, especially with the issues that are prevalent in our market today with some of the compliance issues around wall cladding, you know, really just taking that inspiration from what Japan have done with their disasters and saying, okay, if we all move in that one common direction, what could we achieve?
Yeah, definitely. So we talked a lot about the smart city space. Was there anything that really kind of stood out to you as, like, in the technology or the concept or, like, the human kind of centric approach? Is there anything that really surprised you?
I think I was immensely surprised by a lot of different things, but I think just the extent of the application. So just even, I'll just give an example of the Internet of Things. You know, we talk about that for, you know, smart cities, but also for the wellness, the human factor, interacting with the built form and the way we're able to build across that and share that data, share that information, and to be able to see it practical in a real life experience, you know, for me is just being one of the most remarkable ways of being able to sort of pull it all together and see the way it actually operates on multiple spectrums, not just the way we linearly think of something when we approach it, to see the way that this technology actually enables a whole ecosystem wanting to feed in from that same data set.
Mm. Yeah, cool. So will you be back to Japan?
I will be back as soon as I can, and I can't wait to come back, and I can't wait to also invite some of the Japanese to come over to Australia and actually see what we're doing, because at the end of the day, you know, what I'm really proud about in our sector and being Australian is the fact that I feel like we're actually batting above our average, and we're really, you know, pushing the market and pushing the line, and I think that, you know, they could learn a lot from us as well and how we approach problem solving and innovation.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's a key point that I think we've all kind of made, is that we can learn from each other, and that's so important. We're not, like, Australia isn't out of this, not that it's a race, but the conversation, exactly. The global conversation. So yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to that as well.
And I'm just one last point, it's the diversity factor. I think The fact of having dexterity, thought, having different industries, different perspectives, different life experiences, it gives me share some commonality, definitely with aging populations and urbanization and lots of other issues that we very much share, but we also have extremely other different factors. And I think that's one thing that in Australia we should be really proud of, is the fact that we are able to problem solve and really look at things from other perspectives, just because we have such a fantastic, diverse workforce.
Mm, yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at our delegation, you know, 7 women, one that's pregnant, and 6 men, and we've all just kind of embraced this experience, and it's been amazing. And I think that Austrade's just done, and the minister and his support, so it's just been absolutely amazing. And I think that, yeah, they should be really commended on this. And it wasn't even, it was kind of by accident. And that's the most, you know, that's the most beautiful thing about it, is that, you know, in this smart city space, it's not one player, it's not one type of person, it's everyone playing. So I think that's really, really awesome and really important.
Definitely.
It's been so great to speak with you, and we'll karaoke later.
Definitely. See you there.
See you there. Bye. Bye.
Yo.
It's the Smart City Podcast. Whoa.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes can be found at thesmartcitypodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for me or any of my guests, connect with me via email, zoe@thesmartcitypodcast.com, or via the socials. I'm on Twitter and Facebook @smartcitypod. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.